Hi guys, welcome to Consciousness Uncensored. This episode I have with me here Craig Bergman, and the purpose of these series, of these podcasts and Facebook live stream is to give you real people, real spirituality in real lives, the most authentic talk, and to experience what it is like to integrate our spiritual work in our day-to-day life from different people in different walks of life. So I'm very excited to have Craig with me here. We'll have a fun discussion. Hopefully you guys gain a lot of insight from that too. Craig is the founder of Word Up Kids. He's a poet and an educator and such an inspiring figure and person for me. And I'm very happy to have him here and to share with us his insight. And I think a lot of what we're gonna cover today even is gonna help us to give us some inspiration for soul searching and a few tools to help us prepare for this month of Virgo and Rosh Hashanah as well through journaling, creative journaling, etc. So, welcome Craig.
Hello again.
Why don't you start by telling us what got you into writing?
Can I use my water bottle?
Yeah, that's a very, for those who've listened to the podcast and don't have the visual.
64 ounce.
Not just that, but like white, bright yellow. So very subtle. Yeah.
Yes.
You can have a drink.
So question
is, what got you into writing?
Okay, good question. What got me into writing was I was working for the center.
Oh, yeah.
And I was working as a copywriter, I was working in the marketing advertising department, and I was looking for a copywriting class. I like to think I was did a good job at the writing, but I didn't have a process or a technique, so it was always, where's Craig? His work is due. And I'd be pacing the alley, you know, waiting for inspiration. It was kind of torture. So I was looking for a class so I could learn to do what I was doing, and I couldn't find a copywriting class, but I found a creative writing class with a teacher. His name is Jack Grapes. He's here in Los Angeles. He's a poet. And I'll try not to make this a long story, but there's a Kabbalah lesson here. So I remember I was working. It was a Friday. It was getting close to Shabbat. And like I was literally getting ready to go, and Sari Ardaini comes to me and says, we need an SFK, a Spirituality for Kids, a newsletter to have today. And I was like, oh God. But I couldn't say no to her, so I wrote something and we sent it, and then I was done. And then I went to Starbucks, and when I walked into Starbucks, a girl, a woman from the center, a friend, was there with another fellow, and they were having what's called like a writing date. They were writing and they were talking. So I was talking to her, I was like, oh, what are you doing? What is this? And she's like, oh, I'm taking this writing class with Jack Grape. So I was like, oh, what's that? I'm looking for a writing class. So it was sort of a Kabbalistic, we were talking about the extra mile, and you know, things happen when you stretch. So I wouldn't have encountered it if it wasn't for Sarah being a pain in my butt and making me do that. So I found Jack and started taking his classes, and it not only did it help with the copywriting and make it more authentic, and it was still a pain to do it, but a little easier. I discovered the process of journaling, and I guess growing up, I'm from New York, so I wasn't into this woo-foo journaling spirituality stuff, and so I had, I guess, like a negative connotation of it, which I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, and I had that too. I remember before you and I talked, I even, remember making fun with another teacher, like, you know, we're saying like, oh, okay, if you have nothing to teach or nothing to say, just tell people, or journal about it, you know, we were making fun of it. And until not too long ago, and also you helped me with that, like, I started to look into that and also writing prompts and also integrated into workshops and then talking to you about it, and mostly like, okay, doing it, really taking it serious and doing it myself. I saw how many insane amount of benefits it has that I would never have imagined, you know. So yeah. If we will explore, and you will tell us some of the practical ways we can work with it and the benefits of it.
Yeah.
But talking about the benefits, like, because a lot of your work is also with kids, how do you see it being effective and powerful and important, using journaling with kids?
So I think a lot of children aren't really necessarily taught how to express themselves. So I think journaling and writing, well, first of all, a lot of times people say just journal or just free write, mm-hmm. or they'll give you a prompt, but no one gives you a technique. Mm-hmm. Like when you play basketball, you have a form and a technique, or when you paint, there's a technique. So Jack has a technique, there's probably, well, there are other techniques out there. So I think if you can give kids a process or a technique for journaling.
Please go ahead. It's just my little battery there.
So if they have the technique, I think how it helps them is, I mean, so much. It develops the part of the brain that also deals with intuition and problem solving. So many kids are, you know, dealing with challenges on every level. So I think it helps with problem solving, being more creative in that regard. It's not just about being creative.
Yeah.
I think it helps you with your intuition. I always say it's like a portable therapist. Like there's always someone to talk to, or a Kabbalah teacher.
Can you share with us like a practical example from your life where you have used any of the techniques that come to your mind now and a tangible breakthrough that you had with that?
Well, today I had some uncomfortable news, mm-hmm. and I started to freak out, and I grabbed my journal and I wrote for 2 pages. I have a habit of I write for 2 pages and I tend to stop, otherwise I get obsessive or when should I stop. So I wrote for 2 pages, and by the end of the journal entry, I had some clarity as to how I needed to, my consciousness needed to be around this. Mm-hmm. So
whenever we experience a challenge, we could easily just drop anything and just write about the challenge or write about what goes on through our mind. It's like, it's unedited, right? So you just write about it for like 2 pages.
Yeah.
By the end of that, do you review it or you just have the clarity right after?
I don't review it. It's painful to review it. I think something we were talking about yesterday, which is thoughts are elusive. You can't like hold on to your thoughts, so they just keep, you know, mm-hmm. dodging and weaving and attacking us. So when we use words and language, it helps us to snare our thoughts one by one. So that's why when you talk to a teacher or a therapist or a good friend or a spouse, and oftentimes you're doing all the talking, but by the end of it, you're like, oh yeah, I think I know what I need to do now. It's like we're putting our thoughts into language and it's helping us to overhear ourselves and make order of it. So oftentimes by the end, we're like, oh, I know what I need to do, or I feel better. There's a book from Harvard, these two Harvard researchers, it's called Thinking on Paper. And that's their whole theory that, and supposedly they give it to college freshmen. I never got it, but, and it's that writing isn't, the primary function of writing isn't communication, it's actually a tool of thought. They call it the father of thought. So it helps.
Father of thought.
Yeah. So it helps you to think and get clear and overhear yourself. And often what they would recommend for college kids and kids in all grades is before you have to write something or a project, journal about it. Mm-hmm. I guess people call it free writing. And then usually oftentimes by the end of it, you're like, oh, this is what I want to say or what I want to write.
Yeah. So that's already a very powerful thing. And I can totally relate to that and have seen how through the little, because I'm not doing it every day, but the little that I do and started to invest more time in it, it's definitely a huge benefit that I see, that it gives me a lot more clarity. Like you said, like thoughts, I think for all of us, and I can say for myself, it's like we're bombarded with all these thoughts, right? And they can be so scattered and like we don't even know, like, and then we overthink things and like, and there's so many things that we need to deal with. So writing to help put things just into order and structure and to know what am I thinking actually, yeah. to have more awareness of that.
Yeah, you kind of overhear yourself thinking.
Yeah.
And typically, well, at least when I write, and most free writing, it's very messy.
Yeah.
So it's, you get order, but without, you know, it's like a paradox. Yeah. But yeah, it helps to order what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And I've had students, like recently a mother came to me and said that the method that I'm teaching the kids, it gives them an organic process to order their thoughts. Because usually we like outline, bullet point, mm-hmm. but how do you like, you're about to write something or give a lecture, it's like, I don't know what I want to say. So mm-hmm. the journaling for me, that's one of the benefits.
So isn't it also like somehow, we haven't talked about it, but I'm thinking about it now, helping with like being more in a free flow and not to judge yourself, taking risks, being okay with looking messy, like kind of allow it to flow more. Like you're working with kids, so to allow this inner child to like just play around and fall and fail and just, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I did buy a book on writing in college. It was called Wild Mind, and the cover attracted me. And the writer name is Natalie Goldberg, and she talks about the process of writing these different prompts and exercises. And one of her, she was coming from a Buddhist perspective, but one of her chapters was, she called it the critic, which of course we call Satan. And she says, when you're writing, whatever time limit you set for yourself, don't stop, like go for 10 minutes, don't put the pen down. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, we'll say the Satan is like, you're so boring. You know, you have nothing to write about. This sucks. This is lame. And it wants you to put the pen down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the writing that I do with the kids, it's like, don't put your pen down, even if it sucks, even if it's terrible. And it's like a way to defeat the Satan. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep writing.
Yeah.
So I think it does, that's one of the things it teaches the kids. Yeah, to like free-flowing and not to inhibit, not censor.
And one of the things you and I worked on, and you know, you're kind of sharing me a few insights and what you learned from your teacher about writing, and I found it really fascinating. The whole idea and how writing can help you to find your true, authentic inner voice.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So, when we're in school, when we're in elementary school, and we start to write, we learn how to write, we write the way we talk. Mm-hmm. So the rhythms of human speech is found in the writing. Or I guess you can say it's conversational, it's informal. Mm-hmm. And then when we get into middle school, certainly high school and beyond, the teachers start to correct that because it sounds too informal. It doesn't sound professional and mm-hmm. all that. And there's, you know, there's a place for that, and we need to learn how to write. But we learn, what my teacher would say is we learn to write the way we read, like the way we read in books, that's how we write. So mm-hmm. what happens is it takes out the spontaneity of the way we talk. Like I don't think I'm a fluid speaker and doing my best here, and I start and stop. But yet when I write, I'm not allowed to do that. I have to like perfectly craft the sentence, so it totally gets me in my head. So part of the writing technique that I learned from Jack is how to sort of write like we talk, and I forgot the question, but I answered the question.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like to find our through.
So you find your voice, and oftentimes, like I would be in class reading, and I was writing about mundane things, but I was writing in my voice, and people were captivated. They're like, "We love it. We love what you wrote." It's like I didn't write anything, and I see this happen when my students are reading. They're like, this isn't anything. But when you hear the voice, it's like you feel connected. And I think it helps me somehow in the writing and expressing myself and then standing up in front of rooms and reading has given me more permission to like follow my impulses when I'm talking out loud as well.
Yeah.
To have
yeah.
my voice.
Yeah, for me, it's been such a crucial process in writing and finding my true voice and the little exercises that you gave me. Because it also gives you a lot of confidence when you know what your voice sounds like. And
yeah.
it's the real you and it's authentic. Yeah. So it's not just in the writing, also in the communication later, you can tune into that and find that. Because I think a lot of us lose ourselves, you know, lose our true authentic voice. Like we don't really know, like we're influenced by other people and situations, what other people think and like, we're trying to please, so somewhere as we age, you know, we lose that connection to that authentic voice. So writing, is there a specific exercise that you can maybe share in how writing can help you find that a true voice?
Absolutely, but first, can I share something?
Please.
I was listening just this morning to a Rosh Hashanah seminar by the Rav.
Yeah.
Like from back in the day.
Yeah.
With Star Wars and all that old... cool metaphors, and the Rav was saying something to the effect of, we no longer think for ourselves, everything is packaged
yeah.
and given to us, and we think what we're told to think. That was the gist of it. So again, it's like, you're writing, and it's like, oh, I have my own little small voice, but the more you do it, you start to, it's not small, it's me, it's powerful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It reminds me of another thing, now that you mentioned the Rav, I remember that I was always giving these examples of, you know, when it comes to, because the Rav would never prepare the lecture, right?
Right.
The Rav would never like sit down and prepare a lecture, right?
Yeah.
The Rav would come and like really allow the information to flow in his yeah. true authentic being, right? The Rav would never be anyone else but the Rav, right? And the Rav would say like, you know, when you get on the phone with someone and you talk to them, and let's say it's a monologue of 30 minutes, you're giving them advice, and then you get off the phone, then you look at it, is none of that was scripted, right? You didn't think about before, and yet you had a whole half an hour that communicated and talked, right? So I think it's so powerful when we find that true inner authentic voice, and then we talk from that place, and we don't need to overthink things, and how will this sound, and how will that sound, it's just will be purely channeled.
Unscripted, I think.
Unscripted.
I have a friend of mine, he's like kind of a stoner hippie dude. It's like, yeah, man, the work you're doing with the kids is great. They're tapping into an unscripted part of their brains. And I was like, oh, that's a good line. It's that unscripted.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what I love also about it. We talked a little bit about improv. It's off topic, but I just bring it up. What I love about it so much is like, you're acting out things that are totally unscripted, right? And you create a whole scene that is unscripted. But that's the thing, right? If you really don't overthink things, it's so similar to writing, right? You don't think too much in creative journaling or writing, right? You like you just write, right?
Yeah.
And what comes out of that is the unscripted, right? Like you didn't think about it, it just comes. It's the best things.
Yeah.
Best things. So whether we acting it out or we writing it down or we speaking it out, but those moments I feel where you really feel the magic.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think writing helps you to keep the channels open when you
write
a process. It's like, I don't know if I'm channeling, because I don't know, you know. But certainly, the more I do it, the more I just feel like whatever needs to come through, comes through. And I think also something we were talking about yesterday about the spontaneity and the pleasure of like improv or writing or all kinds of creativity is, have you heard of Pavlov's dog?
No.
So this is something it's a very famous scientific experiment. I don't know where he's from, Dr. Pavlov. So he was practicing conditioning, you know, teaching the idea of how we can be conditioned. So he conditioned a dog that every time he served a steak to the dog, he would ring a bell.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, and then after a while, he'd take the steak away, he'd ring the bell, and then the dog would salivate, anticipating the pleasure of the food.
Right.
And then once he conditioned him to that, and he only had to ring the bell, then every time he rang the bell, he would give an electric shock to the dog. So, I mean, I guess he didn't, you know, hurt the dog by animal cruelty, but he gave him a tiny shock that it was uncomfortable. And then he conditioned him that every time the bell rang, the shock came, and then over time, the dog became afraid every time he heard the bell ring because he was anticipating the shock, but he was also salivating because he was anticipating the pleasure of the food. So the dog was put into a bind, like a pickle, and it created anxiety in the dog because he wanted to reach out for pleasure, but he was afraid of being met with pain. So this is what happens to us when we're babies. Our orientation is to reach out for pleasure, for comfort, for joy. We're spontaneous, you know, we move. We were talking about how when you watch kids play, they're just like, they go to one thing to another thing, it's spontaneity. And they're smiling usually, they're pleasurable. And then over time, they start to, the outside world is also a source of pain, so they start to choke off the impulse to go out, and then they're anxious, and they're choking off their impulses, and they retreat to their head.
Mm.
And then it becomes harder to find their voice and be spontaneous and expression. So creativity, improv, acting, and for me, writing, it's a way to like tap into that uninhibited, following your impulses, release, seeking the outward expression, and then there's like, there's pleasure in it. That's why the improv thing, it's like, I feel like you're describing that. Just being spontaneous is pleasure. That's like the primary orientation of us, to be spontaneous, moving, and that's pleasurable.
So beautiful. So beautiful. So at times, it's not always, I would say, like, easy to have that, like if you want it to be a routine, right? Because I know like you gave me that exercise and the first week, like, oh, I was on it. I was writing like at least three times. And then the second week, I only wrote runtime, right?
Yeah.
So even though there's this pleasure to it, one, because once I do that, I definitely feel that, but it still takes discipline to actually, you know, because there are times when we feel like, ah, no, like a friend once told me, like the important things to do in life are, they're easy to do, but they're also easy not to do, right? it's like, good. You know, reading Zohar, or like that. It's easy to do it, but it's also so easy not to do that, right? Yeah. So even though like my mind knows how powerful writing is, many times I'm like, we find excuses, right?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Well, I remember in chemistry, we learned about the law of entropy. So it's everything will go to the least state of energy.
I'm listening to it.
Yeah. Everything goes to the least state of energy possible. So the example was when you throw marbles onto the floor, they don't line up. They just scatter.
Yeah.
Because it requires energy and effort to like line up.
Uh-huh.
So that's like in the Malchut, we're like, it requires effort.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
come to Shabbat to
yeah.
write.
And so, but it's worth it.
But it's worth it. I think for writing, there's a few things. Oftentimes, people who do want to write will find a writing circle. Because there's like a deadline that you got to show up that week with something. And I've heard this from a lot of writers that they need that to motivate them. That's why it's important to have it in schools. And that's what I do with Word Up Kids. We go into schools and after school programs. And then if you have a buddy or, you know, anything for accountability. But yeah, it's...
So tell me one more thing before we get into maybe you can share with our audience like a powerful exercise that we can practice to help us. Tell me a little bit about how is it writing can help overcome OCD, anxiety, and things like that.
So I think, especially the process that Jack taught us, like I have definitely been challenged with OCD type of, you know, patterns in my head.
You told me a story of when fourth grade.
Yeah, when I was in the fourth grade, I came home from camp one day and I had developed this compulsive tic where I had to like look up at my eyebrows. And so my mom thought my hair was in my eyes, so she put a bobby pin. And I kept looking up, and then the next day, and then it just continued. And it morphed into different tics. And I, you know, struggled with it for many, many years into my 20s. And I was able to, you know, do well in school, but I was challenged with expressing myself as well. I would get all like bottlenecked and just like blurted out, or my school papers were like all over the place. And for me, really like learning Jack's technique helped me to just be messy. And the more I do it, the less obsessed I am. Because when I first started, it was really torturous actually to write and be obsessive, but the more I do it using his techniques, I just let it flow, and I find that it just helped, and it still helps when I write. It just, my mind keeps getting knotted up, and when I write, it just unravels the knots. Usually, sometimes it makes them tighter, but, and again, the more I do it, the less I care, and then I'm able to untie, you know, easier. So I think for me, that's how it helps me, and just the anxiety, the fear, the doubts. So I'm someone I need to talk all the time. My wife's like, go talk to a friend. But so for me, and sometimes you feel like I'm going to the same person with the same thing over and over. They're going to get sick of me. And then I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. And I can't afford $200 per therapist. So for me, writing is like I could just dump it. And in the process, get a little clarity.
Yeah.
So I think that's how it helps
for
anxiety. I mean, there's a lot there. But
yeah. So last but not least, share us a tool of a writing exercise that is really short to the point and powerful.
Okay, so what I would recommend is, taking a breath. What I would recommend is to sit down with, ideally with a pen and a pencil or, you know, a notebook. I sometimes write on my phone and I'm not, some people are like zealots about, you have to write old school, handwriting's going away. There's a lot of studies about that. I like writing by hand because when I'm... You went out? Oh man, just did the best part. What was that?
I have no clue. Oh my god.
Does that mean the phone's bad?
Yeah.
We're still recording here.
Yeah, we just went offline live. That's fine.
Okay.
Please continue.
Yeah, so I like writing by hand because when I'm writing on the computer, I'm thinking with my fingers. So yeah, it's easier to write, and a lot of people I find like, I can't get it all out, it's easier to type, but I wind up thinking faster with my fingers, and when I'm writing by hand, it slows my thinking down, helps me to think deeper about something. So I recommend getting an old-fashioned notebook and picking a comfortable place, could be your bedroom, your, you know, somewhere in the house, or taking yourself out on a date to the coffee shop, or inviting a friend. Natalie Goldberg calls it a writing date, where you say, hey Daniel, let's meet at Starbucks, we'll write for 20 minutes, and then we'll get a cup of coffee. And then the exercise is, before I even tell the exercise, I would say, set a time limit for yourself, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, because for me, when I would write without that parameter, it was like, I was obsessive, it was never enough, or it was too little, too much. And it's kind of like running. I'm a jogger, so it's like, okay, I'm running 30 minutes today, I am not stopping. Or I'm running 10 minutes because that's all I can do. So I would recommend maybe start 10, 20 minutes, whatever you can do. And the exercise is, it's two things combined. So the first thing is, it's called, the way I teach it to the little kids in the elementary school, I say, when I say 1, 2, 3, don't think, see. I want you to start writing what you see going on around you in the moment. And you can write about your thoughts and your feelings and what's going on in your life. And you can write about anything. It's a free writing assignment. But the biggest challenge with writing when you're facing the tyranny of the blank page is like, where do I start? Or I write 2 or 3 lines. I'm like, I am so good. And then I'm like, shit, oh, sorry, Chris. But I'm like, damn, I got nothing else. So, and I can't think of anything. So it's don't think, see. And it's, you know, I'm sitting here, it's really nice in Starbucks. I'm really glad I came to do this. Should I get a cappuccino? That lady's drinking one, it looks really good. I gotta call my mother. It's kind of a stream of consciousness, so it'll go wherever it goes, but there's never a writer's block because you can't say, I can't think of anything to write about. Well, write about what you see. I'm sitting here in a room with Daniel. That light is making me schwitz. I gotta get out of here already. Like, there's always something to write about. And then the other thing is, when you're writing, write like you talk. That's the name of the, that's what it's called. Write like you talk. So it's not as we sit here looking at each other, reflecting upon the meaning of our lives.
And it's very pleasurable to have this moment with you.
Right. And it's like, no, I'm really enjoying sitting here with you, and I'm having a good time. So it's more direct, it's more conversational. When you text your friend, dude, meet me downstairs and, you know, bring me a banana, I'm hungry. So it's more conversational, and we do a lot of writing like we talk in the texting and in the email if we're emailing informally. But then once you
unless you are Ralph Brandwein, and then you write a letter to the Ralph. Beloved of my soul.
Which is cool to read those letters.
Yeah, and that's the way he talks, I guess, right? But we need to be authentic to ourselves.
Yeah, well, even with the Rob, when you listen like to these tapes from the old days, the Rob is so formal sounding, and it's beautiful to hear that.
Yeah.
And that's how the Rob, you know, talks.
Yeah.
But like even when we, like we'll talk to friends that way, but then once you have to like, speak to someone from work, and of course it can't be too informal, but we once there's pressure we lose the informalness. So that would be the exercises. You take a notebook, a time parameter that you set an alarm for, or I write 2 pages, like front and back, that's 1 and 2 pages, and that's my timing. And then don't think, see, just start in the moment. If it takes you on a tangent, that's great, that's the point. And if you get stuck, or you're like, now what, you come back to the moment, and you just start writing about the moment. So it's kind of messy and sloppy, is what it feels like. Although oftentimes when students will read it out loud, it all sort of feels connected, because that's how the mind works. The mind goes here, it goes there, it doesn't go linear.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels authentic. And then as you're writing, just write in your voice, as if you were talking. And I can't think of the, what was the word I was using? Oh, whatever, I can't think of it. Like, that would be in my head, and I would stop writing. Damn. Can't think of that word, and I get all stuck. Instead of writing, damn, I can't think of the word, because it'll push me through the block. And also, if someone was going to read it, it actually, you're hearing my voice, and it's that you feel connected to my voice.
Yeah, yeah. So. And even in daily conversation, I find for me that's something that helped me with, like, to write as I would speak, is because sometimes I feel like I'm not expressing myself fully, right? Instead of, like, I meet someone and I say, like, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know what to talk about, but then I don't say that, right? And I say, oh, nice weather today, right? Like, right. Instead of just being authentic and say, like, no, like, that's what I would write in my free writing, so let me say it. You know what? I would love to have a meaningful conversation with you. I don't know where to start, right? Exactly. It's like people will connect to that a lot more because it's coming from your authentic self, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Love that.
Like, I want to, like, I know a little bit about writing and expression of the soul, but I guess I want to learn more about it. But earlier when I was saying how our natural orientation is to seek pleasure, I would imagine, like, that's the soul, right? That the soul is love and joy and pleasure. And so when we're finding self-expression and spontaneity, it's like we're connecting to our soul.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Beautiful.
All right. Thank you so much, Greg. It was really fun. And you guys at home, try it out. Take 10 minutes, 5 minutes a day, whatever it is, just start writing and be consistent with it for a while and see how it works for you. So see you guys next time for Consciousness Uncensored, and goodbye.